Not that we first loved him, but he first loved us and gave himself for us. What a wonderful way to introduce back to the Bible again today. I'm your friend Theodore F. Now here's some news I know some of you have been waiting for because you ask about it. Will these messages be printed? Yes. They're in Volume 4. Moses, Volume 4. They're not yet ready, but will be ready within 30 days. But you may place your order now, one copy free, to a family. We're so glad to mail it to you. This will entail all and the final messages on Moses. We have about 6 or 7 more to go, and then we'll be through with this whole series of Moses, a total of possibly 145 messages, and in 4 volumes. So the 4th volume will be ready in about 30 days, but you may ask for your copy now, and we'll be glad to mail it to you when it comes from the printers. Simply ask for the Book of Moses, Volume 4. Our mailing address is simply back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
I'd like to have been in the garden with Jesus. I'd like to have knelt by his side on the ground when he prayed this fervent plea, let this cup pass from me. I'd like to have been in the garden with him. I'd like to have been in the garden with Jesus. I'd like to have wiped every tear from his eyes when the sins of all the world on the Savior were. I'd like to have been in the garden with him. I'd like to have been in the garden with Jesus. I'd like to have been close at hand when he prayed, not my will but thine be done, words of God's only Son. I'd like to have been in the garden with him.
Where he leads me, I must follow. Where he leads me, I must follow. Where he leads me, I must follow. I'll go with him all the way. I can hear him gently calling. I can hear him gently calling. I can hear him. Follow me.
Wonderful God, we thank Thee that we have a way to go. Thou art the way, truth, and the life. And when we follow Thee, as Thou hast said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We bring honor and glory to Thy name today as we open Thy book. Speak Thou to our hearts so that we may learn the lessons that Thou hast intended us to learn by recording them in Thy precious word. We thank Thee for this victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few moments of review. We're now discussing Moses' sin under excruciating stress. 38 years more had gone by since Kadesh Barnea, and once more they were on their way to the land. They ran out of water, and as they ran out of water, even this new generation, which had seen the glory of God, began to complain greatly. And, of course, this upset Moses. He was now an old man, 120 years of age. And despite of all of his faithfulness and selflessness, his life closed in the minor key. That is, he too was excluded from the promised land. But in his great disappointment, he was a victorious man. His case was very simple. His failure sprang from unbelief, which in turn resulted in not sanctifying God in the eyes of Israel. For by his actions he had misrepresented the nature of God to the people of God. He lost momentarily his self-control, which in turn resulted in disobedience. God had said, "Speak to the rock," but he struck it twice, plus the fact that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. As I said, nearly 40 years now since Moses had first used the rod to fetch water from the rock. And almost everything is in sharp contrast now after another 40 years. In Exodus, the 17th chapter, we read about where he first struck the rock and brought forth water. Now in Numbers 20, we see again water brought forth. But I want you to note the contrast. This is important that you see this. The rock in Exodus 17 foreshadowed Christ on the cross, whereas the rock in Numbers 20, pictured him on high, namely the high priest. Even the Hebrew words for rock are different in both places. So while both rocks speak of Christ, the first one, in Exodus 17, speaks of Christ on the cross. That is, the Savior, who was wounded, smitten for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. He was stricken for our redemption. That's why he struck the rock. But now, in Numbers, the 20th chapter, the second time, he is to speak to the exalted Christ, who is risen, the great high priest, providing for a redeemed people and in all of their needs. And in his priestly position, he was to be spoken to, not to be struck a second time. Now, that much for the rocks. I want us to see now the rods that were used. Maybe you hadn't noticed that there was a different rod used on this occasion. Remember, 40 years difference between the time. The rod they contrast. In the 17th chapter and the 5th verse, we read, he says, "Take thy rod." Let me read it to you now. 17th chapter of Exodus, verse 5. He says, "Take now thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river." and stand before the rock and smite the rock. Take thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Now, as an illustration or example or a type, this spoke, of course, of what it meant for Christ to be smitten. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we have been talking about this. And in verse 10 and 11, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge, for he shall my righteousness justly justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." This was then the rod of judgment, if you please, friends. But now he speaks differently. In the 20th chapter of the book of Numbers, I want to read it, verse 8, he says, "Take the rod," not thy rod, doesn't use the word thy, not that personal pronoun, but the rod, a special rod, "and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron," note please, Aaron was with him, "thy brother, and speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth unto them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give water unto the congregation and the beasts to drink." And then notice, please, especially verse 9. "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he had commanded him." I say again, this is very important that we note that this was a special rod, the rod from before the Lord. Now, to find out what this really refers to, we go back just a few chapters. In the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers, we read what happened and how this rod came to be there. I say again, it is a different rod, but it's important that we note this. Let me read to you from the 17th chapter of Numbers, beginning with verse 7. "And some of the people of Israel had been murmuring against Moses and Aaron, and said that Aaron was taking upon himself the priesthood, and that they could just as well be priests. And God had told them that they were from each tribe to present a rod, just a bare rod, naked rod, presented unto Moses. He in turn would take it into the tabernacle, and overnight it should be there. And God was then going to reveal and show who was chosen as the high priest. And here is the method that he chose. I read from verse 7 of the 17th chapter of Numbers. "And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness." Notice, please, he laid them up before the Lord. "And it came to pass that on the morrow," the day after, "Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron, for the house of Levi, was budded, and brought forth buds, bloomed, blossoms, and yielded almonds," all in one night. God made it so clear that nobody could miss it. But let's read on. "And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked, and took every man his rod." You see, they had their names on it. "And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quiet, take away their murmuring from me, lest they die." So then, what God said was, now you've seen the rod, and only one of them budded. Everybody saw it. Then God says, now Moses, you take that rod of Aaron, bring it back to me, put it up, and later on it was put into the ark itself, and it was there to be a testimony unto these rebels and everybody else that Aaron had been chosen to be the priest, namely the high priest. In the 9th chapter of Hebrews, where he reviews the content of the tabernacle, here's what he says, "which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded." This was in the ark. So then the rod of Aaron remained as a testimony before the Lord in the ark of the covenant. This is important. This was the priestly rod, not the judgment rod, the rod that Moses had used 40 years before to smite the rock, was the judgment rod. This rod was the priestly rod used now 40 years later. So Moses did not take the rod of judgment to come out and bring water to the people, but the rod of the high priest. This is very important that we note this very carefully. Note also that in Exodus 17, he was alone when he stood before the rock, and he smote the rock. The elders were there with him, but Aaron is not even mentioned. But now, in the 20th chapter of the Numbers, he says, "Thou and Aaron thy brother." Why Aaron? Well, Aaron was the high priest. So here, this adds to the importance that this occasion, where they were to bring water for the people, that this occasion was a priestly act, not an act of judgment. I hope you got that. First of all, the rocks. The rock, back there 40 years before this, was the rock that spoke of Christ being smitten for our sin. This rock, just before they enter into the land, was to represent Christ, the high priest, and the right hand of the Father to be spoken to. The same thing was true with the rods that they were to use. The rod that was used back there 40 years before this was the rod of judgment, wherewith God had used that rod for judgment on various occasions, for instance, like the going through the Red Sea and many other occasions. But now this rod that was to be used, this just before they entered into the land, was the rod of the high priest, which means that they were now to have their supplies met by their high priest who was in the heavens. This is what it represents for us. Then also we see in the 17th chapter, the rock that was smitten, and the 20th chapter, the rock that was spoken to. So, the interpretation of Numbers 20 is very obvious and abundantly clear in its type. The rock must not be smitten a second time. Referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the rock was Jesus Christ. It says plainly in 1 Corinthians 10, "And this rock followed him, and this rock was Christ." It was a type of Christ. It spoke then of Christ. And so Christ is not to be smitten a second time. This is a very important matter. In the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, and in verse 9 and 10, we read, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. And in that he liveth unto God." With this, we turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And here's what we read concerning this Christ now. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 25 and 6. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the age, in the consummation of this age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once. No more smitten, no more to be smitten, but now talked to. Death can come to Christ only once. He now ever liveth to make intercession. All this is given to make and to keep clear and to define the fact that the death of Jesus Christ is a finished act once and for all sins taken care of once and for all. Now in this second case then, that we have before us now, where they were to speak to the rock instead of smiting it in the 20th chapter of Numbers, the rock which was exalted was then to be spoken to, and one must see the great significance for these two different commands. So we must learn this great lesson. Christ was to be smitten only once. After that, we are to address the risen Christ and apply for any need that we may have from him who is now sitting upon the throne with his Father. Let's just see the contrast. This is clearly seen in the book of Hebrews. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 19, he says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who hath promised." This is the way we now approach him. This will also help to clarify again this passage that we were discussing with you at another time from the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where we saw in verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection." We do not go on to perfection by laying again the foundation of Jesus' death over and over and over again. Go on to perfection, not laying the foundation, he says, of dead works and so on, baptisms and all of that, but and going on from there. Verse 6, he says, "For it is impossible, if they fall away, to renew them through this method, because we see that we crucified Christ a second time, and this cannot be done." So let's learn that the Holy Spirit was given once after Christ was smitten for us. But thereafter, we simply come to our great high priest and drink to the full. That's what he means in John 7, verse 37, 38, and 39. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now we come unto him and take from him. That's what he's talking about. And this he spake, of course, of the Holy Spirit. He said, "If we believe in him, then the rivers of living water shall flow forth." This spake he of the Holy Spirit, who had not yet been given, but who would be given shortly. So, may I just say this again. Today, as Christians, as believers, for our maturity, for our perfection, spiritual perfection, we come to the throne of grace by prayer, and we ask of him boldly. We do not go back to be born again and again and again every time we sin, but we come confessing our sins, clearing the record, and taking from him all that we need. I have a little bit more to say on this, but my time is gone for today, and so on tomorrow's broadcast we will continue to see the application of this for our own personal life.
God's own word.
discussing with you in more detail what the sin of Moses really involved and how many Christians today are falling in the same manner. So be with us, I trust, tomorrow. Now here is a good thought. God mightily uses Christians who stay cool in a hot place, sweet in a sour place, big in a crushing place, and little in a big place.